The Fire People by Ray Cummings. Chapter 1. The Coming of the Light. The first of the new meteors landed on the Earth in November 1940. It was discovered by a farmer in his field near Brooklyn, Massachusetts, shortly after daybreak on the morning of the 11th. Astronomically, the event was recorded by the observatory at Harvard as the sudden appearance of what apparently was a new star, increasing in the short space of a few hours from invisibility to a power beyond that of the first magnitude, and then as rapidly fading again to invisibility. This star was recorded by two of the other great North American observatories, and by one in the Argentine Republic. That it was comparatively small in mass and exceedingly close to the Earth, even when first discovered, was obvious. All observers agreed that it was a heavenly body of an entirely new order. The observatory at Harvard supplemented its account by recording the falling, just before dawn of the 11th, of an extraordinarily brilliant meteor that flamed with a curious red and green light as it entered the Earth's atmosphere. This meteor did not burn itself out, but fell, still retaining its luminosity, from a point near the zenith to the horizon. What the farmer saw was a huge fire burning near the center of his field. It was circular in form and about 30 feet in diameter. He was astonished to see it there, but what surprised him more was its peculiar aspect. It was still the twilight of dawn when he reached the field. He beheld the fire first from a point several hundred yards away. As he explained it, the light, for it was more aptly described as a light than a fire, extended in parallel rays from the ground directly upward into the sky. He could see no line of demarcation where it ended at the top. It seemed to extend into the sky an infinite distance. It was, in fact, as though an enormous searchlight were buried in his field, casting its beam of light directly upward. But more than all this, the farmer was struck by the extraordinary color of the light. At the base, it was a deep, solid green. This green color extended upward for perhaps 50 feet. Then it shaded into red. The farmer noticed, too, that the fire did not leap and dance with flames, but seemed rather to glow, a steady light like the burning of colored powder. In the morning half-light it threw a weird, unearthly, reddish-green glow over the field. The farmer approached to within 20 feet of the light. He looked to see what was burning, but could not determine, for the greenish base extended directly down into the ground. He noticed also that it gave out extraordinarily little heat. The morning was not exceptionally cold, yet he stood within 20 feet of the fire without discomfort. I was on the staff of the Boston Observer at this time. I reached Brooklyn about noon of the 11th of November and went directly to the field where the fire was burning. Nearly 1,000 people were there, watching. By daylight the fire still held its green and red color, although its light was much less intense. It held its characteristic shape. Though clearly definable under the rays of the sun, it became quite transparent. Looking through it, I could see plainly the crowd of people on the farther side of the field. The effect was similar to looking through a faintly tinted glass, except that now I noticed that the light had a sort of crawling motion, like the particles of a heavy fog. The fire came from a hole in the ground. By daylight now the hole could be seen plainly. For some moments I stood silent, awestruck by this extraordinary spectacle. Then a man, standing beside me, remarked that there was no smoke. I had not thought of that before, but it was true. Indeed, the fire appeared phosphorescent. "Let's get up closer," said the man beside me. Together we walked to within 10 feet of the outer edge of the fire. We could feel its heat now, although it was not uncomfortable except when it beat directly on our faces. Standing so close...